Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for providing us with the wonderful place in which we live, and that you have provided for us. And we can argue all day long about how we got to where we are today, but the fact is we're in a pretty good place. You have blessed us richly, and you have blessed us richly because we have, by and large, been a people that has striven to uphold that which is good and right. And it will only be to the degree that we continue to do that, that you will continue to bless us. So we thank you, Lord, for that which has gone before, and ask for your wisdom and guidance to continue on and to continue to uphold truth and righteousness and justice. Thank you, Lord. Open our word, our hearts to your word today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Well, as has already been mentioned today, everybody knows that we just had an election, and everybody's sort of relieved that it's over. Although it's not over yet, because people are still fighting. Yeah. They don't want to give it up. None of us got everything we wanted. I think that's pretty safe to say. Some people didn't care, either because they truly don't, which would be a mistake, or because they don't feel like they have a voice. They don't feel like what they do matters. But we should care. We have the privilege in this country to be a part of the process and to help determine what goes on in our government. And we have the means, therefore, if we think that something is wrong, we have the means to at least do some little part to make it right.
Amen.
But what do we do when things don't go our way? What do? When we don't get what we want? Well, we can protest. We have the right to do that. We have the right to go and vote somebody else the next time that we like better, that might do what we wanted. But what we don't have is the right to be lawless. Yeah. There may be times when we have to obey a higher law, but we don't have the right to be lawless. I have to think that God planned this. I didn't, but I have to think that God planned this, that these messages should fall where they do. When I started out at the beginning of Romans chapter 12, I didn't necessarily have a plan to keep going. But it all tied together and kept going the same direction, so I kept on following.
Amen.
And so here we are. Just to give a very brief overview of where we've been, we started at the beginning of chapter 12 with Paul speaking of our relationship to God, how we are to be a living sacrifice to Him, how we are to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. It's a process. Starts with changing the way that we think.
Right.
He then moved on to our relationship to each other, how we should be in humility, how we should serve each other with our God-given gifts, and how we should love and honor one another. And then he moved on out a little further to our relationship to the world, how we should operate in mercy, empathy, again, humility, peace, and love. And now he's taken it one step further. He's still not done. Now he's going to address how we relate to our government. And the first thing he says is that it's established by God. Therefore, because it's established by God, we should submit to its authority. And that we should do good and not evil in order to have praise from the same. That government has the right of punishment, and that it has the right of keeping the design of keeping order, and that therefore it's right for us to pay taxes, much as we hate that. And he says, give respect where respect is due. So I'm going to start reading in verse 1 of chapter 13. Every person is to be in subjection to the governing authorities, For there is no authority except from God, and those which exist are established by God. Praise God, we got visitors.
Yes.
Therefore, whoever resists authority has opposed the ordinance of God. And they who have opposed it will receive condemnation upon themselves. For rulers are not a cause of fear for good behavior, but for evil. Do you want to have no fear of authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. For it is a minister of God to you for good. But if you do what is evil, be afraid, for it does not bear the sword for nothing. For it is a minister of God, an avenger that brings wrath on the one who practices evil. Therefore, it is necessary to be in subjection, not only because of wrath, but also for conscience' sake. For because of this, you also pay taxes. For rulers are servants of God, devoting themselves to this very thing. Render to all what is due them. Taxes to whom taxes is tax to whom taxes due. Custom to whom custom. Fear to whom fear. Honor to whom honor. Paul starts out here making sure that we understand that God is the supreme authority.
Right.
Which he established, going back, the reason why we started in chapter 12, we actually started a couple verses back in chapter 11, because it establishes the basis for everything he's going to say next, because he speaks of the greatness of God. And I didn't put anything else on the screen, but it says, "Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments, unfathomable his ways. Nothing exists without his permission."
Amen.
We teach this all the time in regards to our personal lives. Things don't go well, or we don't understand why somebody's sick or somebody's having a hard time or something difficult happens in our lives, and we question and we wonder what's going on. And we teach that God's in control. God knows what he's doing. What's no less true in the rest of the world. He has got control of all of it. Thank Nothing you. Ever happened outside of his control.
That's
Nothing.
Right. That's right. Absolutely.
Therefore, that's why he can say that God established the government. And yet, despite its flaws, it's not perfect, obviously. Despite the fact that we know it has issues, most of us, I think, believe ours is pretty good. We might even believe that God established it. Some of us, at least, have been taught that. But whether or not we believe it doesn't change the truth. Consider this. Consider the government that Paul is writing under. He is writing as a citizen of Rome. And Rome is not exactly a model of good government. They had some good things that they did that we drew some of our concepts from, but they got Caesar in place of God, for one thing. It was graft dishonesty was not an uncommon thing. In fact, you can read in the book of Acts, as Felix is holding on to Paul there, he's one of the reasons why he kept him so long is he was expecting that Paul would eventually give him a bribe to get away. Of course, Paul didn't do that. Slavery was built into the system. It was a very class-oriented system. The nation of Rome brutally subjugated other nations, conquered them, and that included Israel. And it persecuted Christians and Jews. Persecution would increase more after Paul wrote this, but this is not something that you could say, well, you know, he could write that. He had it pretty good. No, it wasn't very good. It was a lot worse than what we have. But he said, the authority is established by God. Submit to it, or else you're going to be found opposing God. Mm-hmm. And you're going to suffer the consequences.
That's right.
Because he established it. He established it, but then we get into the reasons why he established it. He established it to oppose evil. He established it to promote good, and he established it to provide justice. And he says, you submit to the authority not only because you might get in trouble if you don't, but also because it's the right thing to do for conscience sake. Not simply because we might get in trouble. So why this warning? Why would Paul be writing this? Well, there was a small faction in his day of Jews that advocated for the overthrow of Rome. And, of course, you know about all the rebellion that was going on in the province of Israel, but Paul's now writing to Rome. But there were some people there from Judea who wanted to see a revolt take place. So he's saying, no, that's not the way. And we've got people now, some in our country, who are doing the same kind of thing. They are advocating for the overturn of the rule of law. We're going to do what we want to just because that's the way we want it. That's not the way that things are supposed to work. And then he says, they're here to do a job, and that therefore it's right to pay taxes because these things need to be done. They're established by God. Now, that's not to say that every tax is always right, but that wasn't the point here. And it will get used for things that we don't like. And I guarantee you that the same thing was true in the nation of Rome. It was going to get used for things they didn't like. But it also facilitates necessary functions that it's appropriate that we pay for. And it so establishes that it's fitting to do that. Not only that, you remember what Jesus said when Jesus was approached. Of course, they were trying to trick him. They were saying, is it right to pay taxes to Caesar or not? Well, they figured they'd get him either way because he either says it's okay to pay taxes to Caesar and they can accuse him of being a Roman sympathizer, or he can say it's not okay and then they can accuse him of being a rebel. But he said, give me a piece of money. And they give him a piece of money. He says, whose picture's on there? Well, it's Caesar's picture. Well, all right. Apparently it belongs to him then. If it's his, give it to him. But the money is printed created by the government. So, okay. There you go. And he says then, give to people, give to the officials, give to the government what is due them. Now, I just got my property tax bill for Richardson ISD. I'll tell you something. I am not happy. I'm not happy, and I voted against it. I don't think it was something that they needed. But nevertheless, they got it. And I paid it. But, it's not always fun. But he said, that's what you do. That's the right thing to do. And he says, give respect to whom respect is due. Give honor to whom honor is due. I admit, sometimes that's hard. Some of these folks that get in office, our tendency, regardless of which side we're on, sometimes they're just people we don't like.
That's right.
And some of those people that have been in office in my lifetime, I didn't feel like were worthy of any respect.
Mm-hmm.
Well, at that point, what you do is you respect the office. God put them there. Therefore, you pray for them. There's another place that says pray for your recruiters. Pray for those that are in authority. If you don't like what they're doing, you don't like what Trump is doing, pray for them.
Absolutely.
Pray for him. Because the only thing, whatever it is that you don't like, God's going to do one of two things. Well, I'm not going to put it that way. I'm going to back up from that. I'm just going to say that you pray for him and you trust God to do what he needs to do.
Amen.
So how then do we apply this? We're living under God's authority.
Okay.
And therefore we obey. Obviously we obey the criminal law. It kind of goes without saying. But also, we obey the civil law. Now, there may be some room here. I mean, we had, back in the 60s, we had people protesting laws that were unjust. And I'm not going to say that that was wrong to do. The laws were unjust. And by doing what they did, they brought attention to the fact that those laws were unjust. And the laws got changed. But we are, as a rule, to obey the law and conduct ourselves honestly. You know, that even means when you're filling out that tax form, much as we might be tempted not to. It also means when we are making use of government services, just to bring it down to a practical level here, where some of us have lived. Means when you're filling out forms for assistance, and you know if I say one thing, I get more than if I tell what's the truth. And it's tempting. It was tempting. Sometimes it's easy not to report something. It was tempting for me when I went to school. I didn't want to report everything that I was getting, because if I reported everything I was getting, I wouldn't get it. But we are called as Christians to a higher standard. Always to be truthful and upright in everything that we do. And if we don't do that, and then we suffer consequences for it, those consequences are just. How many times have we, everybody faces the temptation, but how many times have we seen high profile people? Not just one set of folks. Everybody faces the temptation, and unfortunately some people fall for it, and you see high profile cases all the time where people get in trouble because they didn't pay all the taxes they were supposed to pay. And it didn't matter how much money they were making, it wasn't enough. They had to do something so they could keep a little more. I don't blame them for wanting to keep it. Somebody once said, you know, tax evasion is a crime, tax avoidance is an art form. Make use of those laws, but don't disobey them. Because we are being watched. You want to get on the news? The quickest way you can get on the news is to be an outspoken Christian and do something wrong.
Amen.
You'll be right on there. But that's not the way we want to get on the news, amen? We should instead be known for our high standards. We ought to be above reproach in everything that we do. That includes the way that we interact with those in authority. What about unjust government? Well, as I look through God's Word to see what we can learn from what people did throughout the teaching of the Bible, there were a few instances where God seems to have anointed rebels against evil rulers. You could argue that about Moses, although Moses didn't actually, other than the mistake that he made, murdering that Egyptian, having to flee, that wasn't, you know, God didn't tell him to do that. But all of the violence that was done in Egypt, God did it. Moses didn't do it. Children of Israel didn't do it. So I don't know if you can count that. You look at David and Saul, but if you look at that situation, David through all of that time, it was Saul who behaved badly, and David constantly tried to make things right. And when he was given the opportunity to assault or to kill Saul, he refused to do it. He said, no, that's God's anointed. I'm not doing it. So even though Saul was doing evil, David wouldn't lift a hand against him. The only case where you might argue that God did this was in the case of Jehu. If you remember that story, Jehu was anointed by the prophet to be the king of the northern kingdom. Israel had split by that time because of Ahab. You remember Ahab is the husband of Jezebel, and one of the most wicked kings that Israel had. And so God determined that Ahab would be overthrown. But even in that, I don't see any specific instructions to Jehu. Jehu seems to have taken it upon himself to make it happen. And there doesn't seem to be any commentary then about whether that was... everything that's in the Bible is not necessarily condoned. It's there for historical record. God prophesied that Ahab would be taken out, and Ahab got taken out. Mostly what you find is the servants of God, though, working within the authority that they're under. You see that in Joseph, who becomes a slave in Egypt. He does such a good job that he ends up being second in command. With a little help from God, of course. Interpreting a couple of dreams. But it is his willingness, even though he was unjustly enslaved and unjustly imprisoned, to be the best that he could be in that situation, that enabled him to be at the place and time to rise to the top and be the deliverer of the infant nation of Israel. You look at King David, we've already talked about him a little bit, how he behaved with Saul. You look at after the occupation, after Babylon came in and conquered Israel, you look at Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were well respected as rulers there in the province of Babylon. They were they worked within the system. Now, they had limits. We know the stories. How there were lines they wouldn't cross. And if we got to the point that when they were asked to do things that went against God's law, they wouldn't do it. Daniel continued to pray. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego would not bow down to that golden statue. And of course, God delivered them. Look at Queen Esther and what happened there. Everything that they did was not in rebellion to the evil governments they were under, but rather they followed God, and God delivered them. When you look at Paul in the case of Rome, as you read through the book of Acts, you find him making use of the law for his benefit, asserting his rights as a citizen of Rome, but you never find him inciting any kind of rebellion or any kind of unlawful activity. We put God's law first. And there are times when that means we take a stand and we say, no, I'm not doing that. God's law comes first. When the apostles are brought in before the leaders in Judea there, and they said, you can't preach in Jesus' name anymore. They said, whether it's okay to obey you or God, you decide. And they continued to obey God. The early Jews would not worship Caesar as Rome commanded, but they would go and pray in the temple and make sacrifices on behalf of Caesar. And that was sort of the uneasy alliance that they had that allowed Rome, that Rome let them be and let them continue to practice their religion. In fact, it was only when they decided they weren't going to do that anymore that things got rough. So where is the line? Where is it that you can say, I'm not doing this anymore, this is unjust, I'm not going any further? I think that line is where you are required yourself to do evil, or where you are required to deny God in some way. That's the point at which we draw the line and we say, no, we're not going to do it. I think that's appropriate. But we in this country have a unique blessing. We have perhaps the greatest power of any governed people in the world ever in history. We have the freedom of religion. We have the right to speak freely. There's people challenging that all the time, but we still have it. We can assemble together here. We can worship God together. And we have the right to have a say. We have the right to have a vote. You know, there are people voting all over the world. And that's a wonderful thing. But nowhere is that combined with the kind of freedom that we have to speak our minds and to urge whatever action we feel is appropriate within obvious limits. But we have a wonderful blessing here that we ought to do everything that we can to preserve. But because with that freedom comes responsibility. There's a responsibility to value that which we have, to understand how it works, and to use it wisely. We talked a few weeks ago, I guess it's been a couple, 3 months now, about the parables of the talents and how, you know, the one who buried the money and then brought it back was condemned because he didn't do anything with what he had. Don't bury your talent. Understand the issues. Don't like how things are? Do your homework. Check it against God's word. And at a minimum, go and vote for what is good and right and true with what you've learned. And yeah, I'm going to say this. If you haven't learned, please stay home. If you're just doing what somebody told you to do and you don't understand the issues or the circumstances, don't bother. It's all right. We'll get by. But that's really not what we want. What we want is an informed citizenry using the wonderful gifts that God has given us in this nation to make it a better place and to make it truly one nation together under God.
Amen.
Amen.
Government is from God, but government is not God. Michael Brown, I don't know if y'all know who he is. I don't know a lot about him. I've been following him recently, read a couple of his books. He recently came out with a book. I haven't read it yet, but it's on my list. It's called Trump is Not My Savior. And it's written from somebody who supported him. But I imagine that it highlights the fact that we get a little bit too tied up in our leaders. We put a little bit too much faith in them. It's disappointing when we do vote and we lose. But we remember in those times who is really in control.
Amen.
Keep your focus on God, because when hearts are turned, He's going to take care of the rest of it.
Amen.
That's what we really need. I've said it before, I'll say it again. There's no political solution that's going to ultimately preserve this nation. What is ultimately going to preserve this nation, if it is to be preserved, is the hearts of its people turning back to the one who established it.
Yes. Amen.
So thank you, Lord. Thank you for what you've given us.
Amen.
Thank you for your word. Thank you for taking care of us, for bringing us to this place. I just pray for wisdom for all of us as we go forward, to go forward in peace and love, harmony and unity, pursuing truth and righteousness as a people. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.